this morning before coming. I thought, now which verses will I pick out to read? And I thought, well, I got to read them all. So that's what we'll do. We realize, of course, the scripture has the advantage of being inspired, and it will certainly be far more worthwhile than anything this man might have to say. So we'll read in at verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. And again, let's just read it as if for the very first time. On the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Loving Father, thank you so very, very much for leaving on record these precious events in the life of your beloved Son. Thank thee, Father, we can learn from them today, and we pray we will. Just draw us close to thyself for these next few minutes. May we enjoy thy nearness, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Think with me of catastrophe to calm. Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? Potential catastrophe. But then there was calm, and we can thank God for it. I'd like to think with you this morning about a silenced storm. Secondly, a stilled sea. And finally, a serene scene. What a transition took place this day on the Galilee. As in the evening, the shadows lengthen, and along with his disciples, he starts for the other shore. Dear brother reminded me this morning that there was no possibility of them going to the shore, to the bottom, rather. Lord Jesus had said, let's go to the other side. And that was his intent. It wasn't to go to the bottom. It was to go to the other shore. And so, in the goodness of our God, he brought that to pass. The silent storm. Disciples that were used to the storms and used to the sea, and yet as they rise from crest to trough, why, they realize that this is a desperate situation, and they're concerned, and they cry, and in verse 39, what happens? And he arose and rebuked the wind. He had been asleep, as we have noted, in the stern of the ship, asleep on that leather cushion on which normally the sternsman sat to direct the ship. But now, he's sound asleep. And it always amazes me when I read that the waves broke into the ship till it was now full. And he's still asleep. And so they cry and they waken him. And in their desperation, he is aroused. He stirs. He wakens. And the master of ocean and sea and sky has heard the cry of those that he deeply and dearly loved. What did he do? Well, notice what it says. And he arose. Verse 39. And he arose. I think really another better word is he awoke. He was wakened by their cries. I used to like to think that he violated the laws of good seamanship. And he stood up, he arose in the ship. But I really don't think that's the thought. I think rather he was wakened by them. Possibly he sat up there in the stern of the little boat, and having done so, he cried, "Be still," cried to the wind, "Be still, peace be still," and the wind ceased. Beloved, I don't know what your situation might be today. You may not know mine or ours, but it could be that some of our dear brethren and sisters here today are going through the storms of life, and they've cried and they've cried and they've cried. Someone said to me recently, for 16 years I've asked God for a specific request, and still the petition finds its way to the throne. But what does he do? At his appointed time, he is wakened and he speaks peace to the sea. Beloved, I believe with all my heart that the one that you and I petition so regularly and with such deep concern is the very same one who at his appointment will rise to bid the peace within the disturbing influence and element. Notice what he did. He arose. He stirred. He was wakened. I question seriously that he stood. More than likely, he sat in that position. Maybe he raised his hand as a sign of authority. And there was a great calm. The wind ceased. He rebuked the wind. The thought is this, in the word rebuke, he charged it. He gave a command, and it must obey. And so he censured it severely, is the thought. The wind had gone beyond its limitations as far as he was concerned. And he who brought it from its hidden places now commands its boisterous and tempestuous influence to cease. He had appointed the time, and he rebuked the wind, and it ceased, we read in verse 39. He arose, rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." I'm so thankful, I repeat, for this display of his divinity. We considered yesterday his humanity, where he was weary and tired. But now the divinity, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ is evident as he manifests his power and commands that disturbing influence upon his disciples and those that he loved, that it should cease. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So said the psalmist in 33 and verse 9. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 8 and 29, he said, he gave to the sea its decree that it should not pass his commandment. As far as our God was concerned, beloved, he gave a command, and he said, these are your limitations. When that sea went beyond its bounds, he was the one who had put on the reins and bring it back to where it was. Job in 38:8-11 says this, "Who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed." Thanks be to God. Our God is still in control. And whatever the waves might be, whatever the problems, whatever the difficulties that arise in your life and in mine, how wonderful to know that with a voice from the one who brought it all into being, he brings it under control on his divine appointment. Oh, he did so on previous occasions, didn't he? Think of that dear widow as she took her son out to burial. She'd walked that path to the local cemetery outside the little town of Nain, and now she retraces her steps with a broken and a heavy heart. the Savior comes along. I would like to think that he put up his hand to stop the procession. He touched the coffin and commanded, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Many a child of God has wished from the depths of their being that he would be present as they went out to the burial place. But he wasn't. Oh, he was, but he wasn't. You know what I mean. But the day is coming when he's going to empty that grave of its valued store. And together we'll rise to be with him for eternity. There was the time when he spoke to the blind man and gave him back his sight. There was the time when he healed the deaf, when he blessed in so many ways. But as far as these dear disciples were concerned, in the experience and storm of life, he met their need. Beloved, be encouraged with this. I believe that the howling storm in your life and in mine will be stayed by his permissive will. The preacher was conducting a testimony service, and he asked if there were those that would like to stand and quote their favorite verse of Scripture. One dear old brother got up to give his, and he said, "My favorite verse of Scripture is this, 'And it came to pass.'" It comes to pass. The experience that you're going through now is of limited duration, and in the goodness of God, by divine appointment, it will pass when he says, "Peace, be still." It could come no further. But notice the stilled sea in verse 39 as well. "And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." The stilled sea. What really disciples needed then was peace. Peace and tranquility. And there's many a believer that feels today the need of peace. Peace in the soul. How wonderful to know that peace that comes from our God. "My peace," he said, "I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And so he anxiously gives peace to the troubled soul. Seems to me that the child of God longs for peace in three areas of his life. First, he longs to enjoy peace with God. He longs that there be peace in his family, and the joy of knowing his family saved and safe for eternity. And then, peace in the assembly, the gathered company of our God. You know, you can take the others, but it seems to me if I'm not enjoying God as I should, for whatever reason, I don't live as I should. If I'm not enjoying the presence of God in the family and seeing his blessing upon it, or within the fellowship and there's unrest and turmoil, oh, you can have the other things. We must, as believers, know peace in these three areas of life. I will never forget those days preceding the close of hostilities during World War II. Where were you on VJ Day? I'm sure there's some here, and you know exactly where you were. I was in an Air Force barracks outside the city of Vancouver. And you remember for days we'd listened to the radio. And it seemed that peace was here, and then it was gone. And it was a waffling experience, as it were, until finally peace was declared. And then young men were released from responsibility, and off we went to Vancouver. And I will never forget the street, wall-to-wall people. And in that sea of humanity, there were the streetcars, just stopped, couldn't move. And I remember standing in front of one of the largest department stores, and there was a window decorated for the occasion. The backdrop, purple, beautiful velvet, and standing before it, big block letters about this high. One word, peace. Told it all. That was it. Beloved child of God, oh, to think of having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace through the blood of his cross. You have it this morning, and so do I. And it's just but the beginning of a salvation we'll enjoy throughout eternity. How wonderful to know that he's with us then in the boat. We have the assurance again of the psalmist in 89 and verse 9 when he says this: Thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise. Thou stillest them. I believe, beloved, as the children of God, we have the right and the privilege of going into his presence and saying, Lord, the waves have been awfully high for a long time. Please still them. What does the psalmist say? 89:9. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. He knows. He knows just how high those waves go. When the waves arise, thou stillest them. That's what he wants to do. Oh, that you and I would just relax and wait on him to still the waves by his permissive will. He did so with one command. Just one. Be still. Be still. And the waves ceased. How wonderful. I love 107 of the Psalms. And in verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm. A calm. Psalm 107 and 29. As I quoted that, I was reminded of being in a meeting the other night, and the brother was reporting on activities within their assembly. He was really moved as he told us about the Awana Club and kids coming to it, and they had absolutely no knowledge of the Word of God, knew nothing of the events recorded in Scriptures. And one little fellow was trying to learn to pronounce the books of the Bible, and he came to the Psalms and he pronounced it the Psalms. Don said, try as I would to convince that kid, it wasn't Psalms, it was Psalms. Every time he came to it, it was the Psalms. Thank God for the Psalms. 107:29. He maketh the storm a calm. He delights to speak peace to the troubled heart. Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace. What peace he has. He's never ruffled. He never runs for the panic buttons. He has a peace with his Father. And that's the peace he longs, beloved, that you and I should enjoy. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. What did he do? He rose. He rebuked the wind. That was one element he controlled. How about the sea? Could he control it as well? Most certainly he could. And he said, peace, be still. Be still. I love the rendering of that verse in the original. The word peace, be still rather, it means be muzzled. So he spoke to the sea and he said, be muzzled. You've gone beyond your limitations. Get back to where you belong. and stay there. That's the thought. It was out of control. There's a barking, furious beast. It was causing concern to those he loved. And he would speak peace. And he would seek that it be muzzled and commanded it so. Beloved, one day a vast, unrecognizable mass heard his voice, and he spoke a creation into being. The elements have obeyed his voice. It's only poor, puny, wicked, depraved mankind that fail to obey the voice of our God. But then notice again verse 39. What does it say? And he awoke and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Be muzzled." And the wind ceased. The thought there is this, that the wind fell back exhausted. It had spent its force, but now it fell back exhausted. And now there was that serene scene. There was a great calm. What a change. What a change. Why the change? Seems to me there were several reasons. First, he was in the boat with them. Beloved, he's in the boat of your life and of mine. Thank God he is. But you know what I noticed about these disciples? They confessed their need of him. "Master, we're going to perish unless you take control. I just can't possibly handle this thing. If I am to come out of it at all, it will only be by your permissive, authoritative will." And so he commanded. The sea ceased to roar, and the waves and the winds ceased to blow. What did they do? They appealed to him, having confessed their need. "We're going to perish. Master, don't you care?" And so he met their need. But then, finally, it was at his command that it all took place. Oh, dear brother, dear sister, our God neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he awaits the opportunity on his occasion to give peace at his direction. Just go into his presence and ask him for the peace that he alone can give. Whenever I think of Mark chapter 4, I love to dwell on verses 37 and 39. We have two great things here. We have a great storm. Great storm. Disciples might have said one to another, "You know, we've never been in a storm like this one. This is a great storm." And they were perplexed and upset. But then in verse 39, you noticed it. There was a great calm. A great calm. What was the difference? It was the voice of their Lord. "Be still." And this had been a scene of great storm, of a great storm, and great unrest. There was immediately that great calm. Beloved, he'll bring you from the great storm through to the great calm. And he'll bless you as he does. No stormy passion, no temper, no conscience is too strong to be muzzled by him. I'll never forget that day. I've referred to it, I suppose, in guarded fashion, although there was no need to. When I was in a meeting with the president of the college and got a phone call that I had to take. It was from our son. And I heard a broken-hearted son that we deeply, dearly love say, "Dad, Wendy's left me. The great storm had broken. And for 3 years, the waves broke over the little ship. We knew what it was to be in the great storm." That's when Psalm 50:15 took on a totally new dimension. "Call upon me in the day of trouble." I can remember getting down at the edge of my bed with my Bible at Psalm 50:15 and say, "Lord, this is the day of great trouble. And Lord, you said right here, call upon me. Lord, we're calling on you now. Please bring the storm to a close." What did he say? "I will deliver thee." Beloved, through each one of the phrases of that precious verse, our God's brought us, as he has brought many of you, I'm sure. But there was a great calm, and there was a peace that was real and precious and wonderful. Sometimes we sing and enjoy the words, I'm sure. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace. The future, all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. And brother, dear sister, he hasn't moved from that position. He will someday, I believe very soon, when the Father turns to his nail-scarred son and says, "Son, call him home. This is the day." We rise to meet him in the air. Wouldn't it be great to go to heaven from Greenwood Hills? Boy, it would. And it could well happen today. A day just like this. Out on the grounds, walking along, maybe up to the bookstore or over to the trivia and trash or treasures, I'm sorry. We're heading over there, and we put this foot down on Greenwood Hills soil, put the next one down in the glory. It's going to happen. Got it in writing. Got it in writing. It's going to happen, beloved. And so the peace and the tranquility, under the direction and dictate of our sovereign Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authoritative voice of a God-man, there was peace. Sinners, they've come in all of their various needs to him, accepted him as Savior. Within that vast group, we as sinners have come to know peace with our God. I love Peter's words, 1st Epistle 5, verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I love the way Weymouth renders that text. And this is what he says: "Casting all your care upon him, for it matters to him about you." Negri, to think that on heaven's throne this morning, the one who directs the vast constellations is the very same one who's interested in this poor, once guilty, but now redeemed sinner. He says, "Cast all your cares on him, for it matters to him about you." Thank God for this great storm, wherein they prove the presence and the power of their God at the stern of the ship. Then there came that great calm. When he spoke, the boisterous winds fell back exhausted. They'd spent their force. There was nothing more left. They dropped at his command. And then to that raging sea, "You be muzzled. Get back where you belong and stay there." Beloved, he He's your God and He's mine. Let's enjoy Him today as we go about enjoying the day here at Greenwood. Let's just talk to Him, shall we? Thank you, Father. Thank you for all your love and your goodness to us. We're so thankful that although the going is rough at times, and this we must confess, still there is one at thy right hand who remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. And He sympathizes and cares and He keeps. Father, could be that this morning there's some dear sister, some dear brother. The waves have beat into the ship for a long time. And at times, if the truth were known, they're almost ready to give up. But they've clung and they've waited. Would it please you today, Father, to begin working in the heart and in the life to the point where the waves are stilled and the sea and the wind ceases to rage, and they enjoy that great calm. Bring them today from the great storm to the great calm. And we with them will give thee all the glory in our Savior's precious name. Amen.